They head down. We're going to, if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, so thankful. Thankful for the worship that we've already had. God has been so good to us. What a blessing, I tell you what. And I love that song we just sung. You know, if you were to think, I don't know about you, but in my life, one of the things that I think about is in spite of my unfaithfulness, I serve a faithful God. There is not one time, I've been saved 31 years now, and there is not one time where He has broken a promise. There's not been one time He hasn't been there. Now, there's been times where I didn't think He was there, but He was there, He has always been faithful, and I'm thankful for that. He is so good. But we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 17, about the middle. And I want to look at some verses this morning, get into God's Word and see what it has for us today. So Ephesians 4:17, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Lord, we thank You once again for Your Word. We thank You for its truth. And Lord, as we open it up this morning, I pray that the Holy Spirit would teach, would fill me with the unction, would take away the distractions and touch areas in our lives where we need to work on things. And Lord, draw us closer to You. And Lord, if there's any lost, I pray that they'd come to know You before it's too late. Lord, we're so thankful for Your Word and what it's going to do. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen.
Amen.
So, it doesn't take long of listening to sermons, especially on Sunday morning. If you've been, if you've gone to church any number of years in your life, I'm sure you have heard Jesus talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Very famous. That's where we get John 3:16 from. But before John 3:16, Jesus says in verse 5, He says to Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And then John 3:7, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." So that phrase, that concept, being born again, I hope this is not the first time you've ever heard of that. But if it is, it's one of the great parts of salvation. God promises a new life, amen, a new start. But it's also a requirement. That's what Jesus was telling Nicodemus. He's talking to this religious leader of the Jews. And he's telling him, because Nicodemus had come in the middle of the night and he had asked Jesus, what would it take for me to get to heaven? You know, I'm paraphrasing, but what would it take? And so you would think a religious leader like Nicodemus would already have done everything it would take, right? He did all the sacrifices. He went through all the steps. He tried to keep the law and everything else. But Jesus looked at him just like He looks at everybody else on this earth. And He said, this is one of the reasons why I love the King James Version. I know some people don't like the these and the thous, but this is where it helps us. He says, anything that starts with a T is singular, so thee or thou is singular. Ye, you is plural, because in English we don't have singular you versus plural you. It's all you. But Jesus says, "Marvel not that I say unto thee," because He's talking to Nicodemus, "ye must be born again." He's saying this is a requirement, not just for Nicodemus, but for everybody.
Amen?
Amen? It's a requirement. That's what He's saying. And He's saying, in the several verses in that section, He says you can't enter into the kingdom of God, you can't see the kingdom of God, and you must be born again. And when He says born again, Jesus isn't talking about just fixing some bad habits. Right? That's what some people think. Well, if I just stop this or cut that out. No, he's talking about a rebirth, a total new start, right? A completely different life. And another popular verse that you hear behind the pulpit, or you should hear, is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Isn't that amazing? When you come to Jesus Christ for salvation, he's saying all the old is gone and everything is new. Aren't you glad the old sins are gone? They're forgiven, they're forgotten, and you get a new start, a fresh start. But he's saying, therefore, if any man be in Christ, right? He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He's saying, if you have not been born again, if you're not a new creature, you're not in Christ. That's what he's saying. I grow so tired of people that think they can be saved and never a change happens from their old life to their new life. Amen. Before you get saved, you've got to repent. And that's mentally saying, you know what? I'm done with this life. I want a new life. And then calling on Jesus' name and admitting that you're a sinner for salvation. And by faith, believing that he died for your sins and rose on the third day. When you do that, that's the rest of the turning action. Right? You're saying, I'm done with this life. I need a new life. And he gives you a new life. Nicodemus, a religious ruler, he had to repent of his religion. He had to turn from that self-righteousness, realize that he was a sinner, and call it on Jesus' name and put his faith in Jesus for salvation. And if you want to get to heaven, right, isn't that what a lot of people want to do? They want to get to heaven, right? They want the joys of heaven and everything else. If you want to get to heaven, you've got to be born again too. The Bible is clear about it. But here's one of the issues that, what does it mean? What does it look like to be born again? We see the verses. We hear them over and over again. They're not new when I say Jesus saying you must be born again. But what does that really look like in our life? That's what Ephesians 4 shows us in the second half. And we're just going to look at some of the verses. Verse 17 of Ephesians 4, it says this, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkness, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance of that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." He's saying now that you're saved, ye henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of mind. That's what he starts off with. If you're saved, he's saying, hey, he's not saying walk not as the Gentiles, but walk not as the other Gentiles walk. He's saying there should be a difference in your mind. When you're saved, if you're born again, if you're a new creature in Jesus Christ, there should be a difference in your behavior, and it starts in the mind. You should have a different mind. That old life, the Bible says, that we were living was filled with vain thinking, right? You'll see it say vain thinking, vain imagination, and different places. And that vanity in the Bible means emptiness. It means worthless. It means unsatisfying. And you're thinking, how many people on this earth are filling their mind with vain intellect, right? They're filling their mind with vain knowledge and vain education and everything else. And you know, our society, they put a high value on education. It's kind of flipping now, but generally have put a high value on it. But here's the question. Are they learning something in college that will help them in a career to support a family? Or are they learning something in college that's vain? Right? We see that, don't we? But it's not just in the educational realm. We've got vain thinking everywhere in our society. Amen? It doesn't take long of watching television. It doesn't take long on your phone or tablet or whatever, looking at social media or watching short videos or whatever. It doesn't take long to count how many times that you hear and you see things that are vain, that are empty, right? That are worthless, unsatisfying. Verse 18 says that those vain That vanity of the mind leads to an alienation of God and every ignorant thought. That vain thinking pushes people away from Jesus Christ. Amen. And that, I believe, the prevalence of it, it's everywhere, everywhere we go. It's all over the internet. And I believe because the devil's goal is not only to push the lost away from Jesus Christ, he wants to push away the Christians from Jesus Christ. And he is saying, hey, when you're born again, you got to start pushing away those things that are vanity of mind.
Amen.
Verse 19, those vain thoughts lead to lasciviousness, uncleanness, greediness. And these are just some examples, right? What are we called to think about? Things that are holy, pure, and true. And vain thoughts lead to what? Vain talk, vain actions, right? That's what they lead to. But the Bible's clear. If you're saved today, your mind needs to be different than the mind of this world.
Yeah.
It needs to be different. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are so filled with the world's ideas every single day, we don't even realize it. It's very deceptive, it's sneaky, and if we're not careful, we will start to adopt the beliefs of this world. It will happen. Have you ever caught yourself going down the road of starting to believe and starting to kind of talk yourself into, well, maybe those things aren't so bad, when you know that what the Bible says is true? But the Bible says, be not conformed to this world.
Yeah.
It's like a mold. And this world wants our mind to fit in their mold, right? They talk about diversity, but they don't want you to think different than they do, right? Even though diversity means different, right? They want you to think the same way.
Yeah.
That there's no sin, there's no absolute truth, there's no hell, there's no consequences for living how you want, and many, many other things. Don't you see it everywhere you go? Don't we hear it? It's not an accident. But we have to be different. We have to think differently. The only way we can renew our mind, the only way we can push away from continuing to think these vain thoughts, the Bible says, is to be transformed and renewed by the Word of God. That's the only way, and through the Holy Spirit. It's those two ways. You know what the prophet Jeremiah, he asked Jerusalem in Jeremiah 4:14, he asked them this question, how long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? And that is a good question. How long are we going to spend thinking of things that are empty, unsatisfying, worldly, and against God? Because the more we do, the more dangerous it is spiritually.
Amen.
What's he say in verse 20? But ye have not so learned Christ. I'll tell you where you didn't learn the vain thoughts from. I'll tell you where it didn't come from. Didn't come from Jesus Christ. Didn't come from His Word, right? We didn't learn them there. We learned it from this world. Amen?
Yeah.
Anything we know outside of the truth of God's Word, we've learned it from this world. And we've learned a lot from this world, unfortunately. You know what we need to do with some of that? We just need to be honest and repent from it.
Amen.
And deal with it. Philippians 4, 8, 9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I'll tell you one of the things that I don't think is being preached enough is that if you and I let our minds wander and let our minds go and let it think about anything it wants to and never puts our mind in check, you will be in trouble.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
You will. If you're afraid of something and you don't put that fear into check, it will paralyze you.
Yeah.
If you are in a time of sadness and you don't turn to that and you just keep thinking about it, it will bring you all the way down into depression. Now, there are men in the Bible that were depressed as well, but you got to see, how did they get out of it?
Yeah.
Because the devil wants you so deep that you're even questioning why you're living anymore. That's where this world lands over and over again. The Bible says when these vain thoughts come, we need to replace them with things that are honest and true and lovely and good report and praiseworthy. I've had to remind myself over and over that. Our minds will never get to perfection in our minds. So don't think, man, I'm so far away. Listen, we are all far away from perfection.
Yes. Right.
Amen?
Yes. Amen.
We are. But when those things start to go in a direction, and you know the direction it's going, you got to put on the brakes and ask God for help and pray and get in His Word and say, God, I don't want to go down this line of thought any further. Amen?
Yep.
We're different. We're born again. Amen? We're a new creature in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And the Bible says we have the mind of Christ as well. Thank goodness. Let's keep going. Verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. What happens first? The mind comes first. Right? Then what's after that? Once you deal with the mind, verse 22 is talking about actions. And you're thinking, well, Mike, I see the word conversation. Well, one of the things about the King James, you've heard me hopefully say it enough, is anytime you see the word conversation in the King James, it's not just talking about the words out of your mouth. It's talking about your whole life.
Yeah.
Everything. How you act, how you treat people, how you walk, what you do, what you don't do. And it's saying, hey, put ye off the former, concerning the former conversation. He's saying, hey, you've got to put off that old way of not just thinking, but way of talking, way of living, way of acting. That has to be put off. It's corrupt. It is lust driven, right? The old life before we were saved, if you think about it, we were driven by lust. Right? That's what happened. And it's any desire. You know, lust, sometimes we only think of sexual lust, but lust can be any desire. A lust for greed or for power or for anything. Lust driven, that's corrupt and deceitful. Right? I'll give you an easy example of one of the lies and deceptions that I've seen too many times. You know, we love our young people. And we've got a lot of young children, but they're going to get older. And I have seen this take place multiple times, even in family. They will put all, they'll get one kid that's good at a certain sport, and they'll go all in, right? They'll go all in. They will travel across the U.S. They'll put countless amount of money into it. They will play that sport nonstop. And they will put everything in there. And you ask why? Because we want them to get a full ride, right, to college, and be set and everything else. You know what's happened? Unfortunately, I've seen a lot of these play out. And the kid gets so burnt out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
They'll play a year in college, and what do? They drop out.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
But what have they missed?
Right.
What has a Christian, if they have grown up in a Christian home, you've done travel ball and everything else for what? You've built up an athlete. Well, I hate to break it to you. Someday you won't be able to dribble the ball anymore.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
It'll go, your body will give out. You might get the full ride, you may not. But what happens? What are you giving up? Right? Because you're doing all that work to send your child to a college. And if you've never been to college, I'll tell you what they're full of. They're full of liberals.
Amen.
That hate God, that hate Jesus Christ, that hate the Bible, that hate everything that's true, and they can't wait to your kid for you to pay to send your kid there to fill them with trash in their mind. You're saying, Mike, well, how do you know that? I spent 13 years in college, and somehow I made it out on the other end still saved. Why? Because what I had was real, and every day I was hit with things that were false and were deceptive. The sad thing is, the kid that's had everything poured into them, that's dropped out, or maybe they got their degree, maybe they didn't, but I'm here to tell you, I believe that there are kids, we've seen them in the news, camping out and protesting and everything else. I believe some of those kids grew up in Christian homes.
Yes.
What they're saying today is just, I mean, for lack of a better word, it's stupid. They don't know anything about what's going on in the world or history or anything else.
Amen.
It's stupid.
Yes. Amen.
But what is that? That's lust driven.
Yes.
Career can be a lust.
Yeah.
Education can be a lust.
Amen.
Anything, any of those things.
Amen.
Running a business can be a lust.
Yep.
Right? Hobbies, hunting, camping, the stuff for around here, anything that takes over your life and pushes out God and doesn't give you time to do God's will and pushes that out of the way, that is all lust driven, that's all wicked, and that is harmful spiritually. That's why our pews aren't full. I'll just go out and say it. I won't stop preaching when the Bible talks about things like this. These are the desires of the lost. You realize that's normal. It's normal for a lost person to put their whole life in things because they don't have Jesus Christ. They're trying to fill a hole. And don't you see it? They're trying to be satisfied in all different ways. And they'll do one way for a while. It'll lose its luster and they'll switch to something else. Have you found you doing that as a Christian? Because that could be a sign that, hey, you're trying to find satisfaction in something else. Right? Whatever it is, it's not worth it. We can't let these desires and sinful behaviors and lack of priority or whatever once you call it, we can't allow it to rule our life. Remember, we can't allow the vanity to rule our mind. We can't let what comes out, we can't let it rule our life as well. Let's keep going. Verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So whatever examples given in this chapter, the same thing is true. What did he say before? He said, put off the old man, right? And put on the new man. Jesus Christ did it the first time when he saved you. Amen. He saved your soul. He gave you a new start. But guess what? Then after that, it's on us not to stay saved.
Amen.
But it's on us to grow in grace and knowledge in Jesus Christ. And how we do that is every day we have to put off the old man and we have to make sure we're putting on the new man. Amen. Those old thoughts, when they creep up, we got to put them off. We got to replace them with the truth. Amen. Those old priorities get out of whack like they do. We start to go after career a little bit. We start to put different things in front of the Lord. We got to put off the old stuff. That's what the world does. Not Christians, not born again believers. We got to put it off. Say, you know what? I've let this rule my life too long. I'm going back to what he wants me to do. And let him rule my life. And let him set my goals and priorities. And stay in the center of his will. That's the key. Put on the new man. He made us a new creature. But the devil wants to pull on us constantly. Right? If you're in the center of God's will right now, the devil wants you out of the center of God's will. It's that simple. That's what he wants. If he can keep you from salvation, he wants to do that. If you're saved, he doesn't like that, but he'll keep you from serving. If you're serving, he wants you to stop serving. And he'll do those things however he can. That's the goal. This is a very practical chapter. We didn't even go through all of it. But if you think about it, he also talks about lying, being angry, sinning not, angry and sinning not, stealing, corrupt communications, bitterness, clamoring, which means yelling, evil speaking, and all those things. He says, hey, here's just examples of the old man you got to put off. Amen. You got to push those aside. And what do you replace it with? Tenderheartedness and forgiveness. So then the question is this, what does my life look like? What does your life look like? Are we constantly thinking about the old things, sinful things, lust-driven things, vain things? Or are we thinking about good things? And when those bad things creep up, are we attacking them before they keep going? Right? What about our lives? What we're doing with our time and our talents and our money and everything else that God's blessed us with. What are we doing with that? Are we going back to the old way? Are we acting like the others that are lost? Or are we acting like we're born again? So this chapter has a test. There's two different columns in it. You've got the column of things that's the old way, and you've got a column of things that are the new man. And this is just one example, but you can find this throughout the Bible. 1 John's another good place. Read the book of 1 John. There's tests just like this that you can apply to your life. And what we should do is we should be honest with ourselves with the help of the Holy Spirit and say, how am I doing?
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
It's like David said, search me, Lord. Try me. Really what he's saying is, I'm ready to hear what you're going to tell about what you already know in my heart.
Yes.
Maybe we need to do that today.
Amen.
Right? What do we tell this world? We tell the lost of this world that Jesus Christ offers us a new life, don't we? If we're witnessing, that's what we tell them. But then why do we try to show them the old life in us? Amen?
Right.
If I'm preaching and saying that he can give me a complete new life, yet I'm talking and walking and thinking the old way, the world's going to see that.
Yeah.
And say, there's no difference in him. No difference in her. What do you mean? Jesus must not be that powerful. Right? He must not be able to overcome my bad habits. He must not be able to overcome my anger. He must not be able to overcome where I just say what I want to say just because that's how I am. No, that's how the old man was.
Yeah.
Amen.
What about the new?
Amen.
So then the question is this. Either you're not saved and you need to get saved because you're trying to act like you're a new person when you're not.
Right.
And there's been people that have put on good acts. But I'll tell you what, even if you fool all of us in here, you will never fool right. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So you just need to bow down and have him, ask him to forgive you of your sins. He's already paid the price on the cross. And get the new life and join with us in growing in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, if you are saved, what are those things? And you know what they are. You know what they are. What is it? What old way is going through your mind and through your life? Because he said you got to put it away and replace it with the new man. This world needs to see a change. What we were talking about in Sunday school, they're saying, show us a sign from heaven, right? You know what the sign from heaven is? Us.
Amen.
When this world sees someone that's totally different, and I'm not talking about turning over a new leaf, I'm talking about a whole new life.
Amen.
When they've known you before Amen. And they see you now and they say, wait a second.
Yeah.
That's the miracle. Amen? That's the sign that Jesus has done something on the inside. And our job is to continue in that new life.
Yes.
We will never be perfect. But what's the Bible say? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Doesn't say no. It says God forbid.
That's right.
Are we going to use his grace as a license to sin and as a license to never get better and just excuse our old whatever? No. We're to grow. But here's the thing. The devil will get you on this. He'll say, some of you will be listening and say, well, I'll never be good enough. And I'll say, hold on right there. He saved you knowing what's going on in your mind. He saved you knowing what you do after you were saved. He still saved you. Amen?
Amen.
And a lot of times with spiritual growth, I've had to remind myself, it takes a long time. I would grow closer to the Lord if it wasn't for me. His word's enough. The Holy Spirit's enough. I'm the one that drags me back. But if I look back 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, I can see where he's changed some things. Amen?
Amen.
There's some things I would have said then that I won't say now. There's some things I would have done then that I won't do now. There's some things that I didn't do then that I'm doing now. Not perfectly, but can you see that in your life? That's spiritual growth. Amen?
Amen.
That's growth. But what it takes is little steps each and every day. And the Bible's saying it's even down to the thought. When that mind starts running loose, you got to put on the brakes. Say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. The devil wants your mind. Right? How can he get into your mind? Through your ears? Through your ears? Through your eyes? Right? That's how he gets in. Some of us have to close some gates. Amen? In the old days, enemy was coming, they'd shut the gates of the city. Some of us need to not be looking at things and hearing things either. That'll help you as well. But anyway, that's for another message. But as we wrap up, you're thinking, why is this so important to do these things? Verse 27, we didn't read it, but it says this, neither give place to the devil.
Amen.
Neither give place to the devil. You know the devil, the accuser of the brethren, the deceiver, the chief enemy of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we decide to walk as we used to when we were lost, when we decide to walk as the old man and not actively put off the old man and be renewed through the spirit of our mind, through prayer and the Bible and Holy Spirit and everything else, when we don't do that, we give the devil ammo against us and against our Lord. Amen? And here's the thing. I do not want to be anyone's excuse for why they either didn't come to Jesus or why they didn't stay with Jesus. Amen? Now, that excuse will not be valid. I'll just put that out right there. If you see me or hear me do something and it turns you off from God and you walk away or you decide not to come to Jesus Christ, that's on you. But I don't want to make it any easier for someone to not come to Jesus. I want the opposite. I want some people to see my life and say, you know what? There's something different about him. There is something, and it's Jesus Christ, right? If you see any good thing in me, it's not Mike. That's the old man, right? And the old man pushed away. If you see any good thing, it's Jesus Christ. Amen. And him working in me.
Yes.
You would have thought in 31 years I'd be closer to him, but I'm not. I'm still working on things.
Yeah.
And he hasn't given up on me.
Yeah.
And he Amen. Still loves me. Amen. And I'm still saved. Amen?
Amen.
Still good.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Where are you at today? I'm going to ask everyone to stand.